second case that we're reviewing today happened on March 2nd, obviously of this year. This is in the early morning hours at 2:26 a.m. And this is in Council Ward 4, which is, and the address is 2914 Hyde Park Circle. This is the suspect in the case, Brandon James Dunbar, 27 years old. Mr. Dunbar only had minor criminal history in his record. There were four contacts with him. However, he's also in our Cal Gang file as an admitted West Side PJ Crip gang member. The map, the X is the location, the red X is the location where the shooting takes place. The blue circle is an approximation of where the car stop took place. This is a two-man patrol vehicle, black and white, regularly assigned patrol officers in their blue uniforms that make a traffic stop on Mr. Dunbar for a license plate violation. And when they do that, they make contact with Mr. Dunbar, who is the passenger in the vehicle, and another gentleman who is driving the vehicle, and the vehicle is a minivan. While walking up in a normal traffic stop, in terms of an officer's tactics, one officer is going to make contact with the driver of the vehicle, and the other officer is referred to as the cover officer. That officer is watching the occupants, ensuring the safety of the officer who's making contact. When this happens, the cover officer sees Mr. Dunbar fidget around with his waistband area in his pants. He does not say anything to his partner officer. That's just his observation that comes out in his interview. Both of the occupants of the car are asked to step outside of their vehicle, and when that happens, the passenger immediately flees from the cover officer, and a foot pursuit ensues, and one of our officers chases Mr. Dunbar. If I go back to the photo there, I don't know if this is a laser pointer, if you'll be able to see this, but our citizens will be able to see this. From the traffic stop here, so far then, please, this direction, so he heads down for the commission, he heads, so he heads south on Anna through the yards, if you will. But it's actually a Hyde Park Circle address, and so he's in between Hyde Park and Anna as he flees through the yards. But the residence where the shooting takes place is actually Hyde Park. I'm going to go back to where I was. The officer that chased him, as he's running behind, he sees the suspect go down toward his waistband and then come back up, and he observes a handgun in his right hand. The suspect then goes over a wall and is in another property. That's the Hyde Park address, and as the officer goes over the wall, the suspect is in the yard. The officer believes his life is being threatened as the suspect has a gun in his hand. The officer fires at the suspect, fires five rounds, striking the suspect three times. The suspect was transported to Riverside Community Hospital, where he was pronounced dead. Madam Chairwoman, if there's any questions.
This may sound a little bit repetitive, but what kind of gun was the Mr. Bond had?
This is another semi-automatic pistol, and on its inspection, it's unknown if this weapon would have been operable. The magazine is full, but that happened when the gun hit the ground, or I believe that is a 40 caliber semi-automatic.
You said, did you say 40?
Yes.
On the second case, then, has the officer involved in that? Has he returned to duty?
Yes, and same circumstances applied to him as our policy, went through psychological debriefing, and he is back to duty.
Thank you, Chief.
John, and then Art.
Yes, sir. I had a question about when he got out of the vehicle, the location that he ended up. Notice it's near home. Did he have a connection to that home, or is that a unknown private residence to him? Or?
This is the second shooting, is that correct?
Yes.
The suspect in this case was picked up by the driver and asked for a ride somewhere. While they had an affiliation, it's believed by us that they were mere acquaintances at best. There was no indication that he had family or friends or anything in that area of town. So the answer to that would be no.
Okay, and on that weapon, I noticed you had a history on the other weapon that was connected to Los Angeles. Do you have any history on where he got this weapon, or?
No.
And the other thing was, last question was, there were two rounds you said were unaccounted for. Did they hit that home, or was he, did they account for those rounds?
The officer was shooting from a position that was above the suspect. We did not find any strikes in any other residence or walls. We believe that they went into the grass of that residence.
Thank you, sir.
You know, last year, there was, and I couldn't quote you the percentage of increased attacks on officers, but it was very high. And when I say last year, I'm talking about the calendar year 2011. 2012 is pacing that around the country, although it is less than that, but compared to the year before that, 2010, it is up. We are seeing an increased number of suspects carrying weapons, is what we're seeing. I would be guessing to say why that is. I would rather not speculate.
It's a reminder to the commissioners, please use your microphones when speaking. Thank you.
On both these cases here, there was a number of shots fired. So does the officer fire and then ascertain whether there still is a threat from the suspect, fires again until there's no threat?
Our officers, and supported by case law, will carry out their actions depending on what it is, in this case, using their handgun, until that threat is stopped. From their perspective, there is a case law that I believe you're all familiar with because it's in our department policy, Tennessee versus Gardner, which actually states that while we judge these issues, we must judge them always from the officer's perspective at the time of the shooting, and the law even says that we should not do that in hindsight. So having said that, yes, the officer will continue to fire until that threat from their perspective has stopped.
And what if there's multiple officers now on scene having to draw their weapons when they're looking at a suspect that has already had the gun in their hand?
Yeah, it works the same way. An officer will respond to that threat as an individual, not as a team member, because we can't ask another officer to know or understand the way the other officer is perceiving that threat. While they do work together, especially the Metro team, every day, and they do work in unison very well, these incidents should be looked upon as individualized on each of the shooting officers in the case.
So when we see one officer shoot and behind those are two more shooting, each one of those are perceiving their own threat of this suspect then?
That's correct.
Thank you.
I just had a question on the second case. Is the officer that was involved, is that the cover officer? Was it the same officer that was the cover officer?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
I may have missed this and you may have said it, but where was the weapon discovered for the second case, Dunbar?
This on Hyde Park, is that correct?
No, his actual weapon that the suspect had.
Next to his body.